That was for me. Amen. Partnering in Christ. Paul has been quite deliberate throughout this book, or throughout this epistle, this letter to this church in the region of Ephesus. He has so eloquently helped them to understand in the first three chapters what makes us Christians, how Christ, through his blood, provided salvation for each of us. God adopted us into his holy family, justified and reconciled us through the works of Jesus Christ. He showed us exactly what it means, or how it is we have become and came to be a part of the family of God. Amen. The last three chapters, chapters 4, 5, and 6, really he went on to teach us how believers act. First three chapters, he told us what it means. The last three chapters, he told us how to do it. Loving one another, emulating Christ, treating one another as parts of the family of God, working under the direction and authority of Christ. He's done so, and he helps us to realize and recognize that we are not in this alone. God is with us. God has made a way for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. But then he also wants us to understand that we're not in this alone, because we're not single children, or we're not only children. Let me see if I can say that better. We're not an only child. And with that understanding, he wants us to understand that each of us have a responsibility to show God that we have endeared him and his principles, and to live so that God is pleased. Pardon me here, but I think I better say it. God does not want spiritual brats. He does not want us to live alienated and selfishly. He wants us to live understanding that we are God's children. Children who have brothers and sisters. Children who have a father. Children who are led and guided by the Holy Ghost. And so as he does this, in these last few verses, these verses 21, 22, 23, 24, he describes in way of benediction, this benediction as he closes this letter, a good word to encourage the brethren, to encourage the brothers and sisters in the family of God. He does so that those who are part of this church in Ephesus might understand that God's work calls for each of us to work as one unit. He does it so eloquently as he closes the letter by saying, I'm accountable to you, even while I'm in prison. And even while I am chained, I want you to know what's going on. Paul says in verse 21, he says, so that you may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything.
All right, all right.
With this, I believe Paul has really given us a lesson, and that lesson is that if we're partnering in Christ, we must be willing to share the Christian journey with others. Paul shared this opportunity with Tychicus, and Tychicus was no stranger to this ministry. He served with Paul for some time. We find him with Paul in Acts 20 and verse 4, when they are mentioning the group who stood with Paul and ministered with Paul. We find him even in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7 as he sends another letter to the church in Colossae. We see Tychicus also in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12 when Paul says, I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. We see Tychicus again in Titus chapter 3 verse 12 when he speaks and says to them that, look, I'm sending both Artemis and Tychicus to you. All right. So he was no stranger to the work of God. All right. He had been ministering with Paul. Paul had mentored him. Paul had groomed and helped him to grow and understand the facets of being a Christian, helping him to understand what it meant to live under the rule of God. But there's something very peculiar even about this passage, even in the scripture, even though Paul is saying, I'm sending him to tell you what's going on with me. In the midst of him saying that, Paul celebrates him. Let me help you to understand something. If we're going to share the ministry of Christ and share this journey with Christ, we've got to get to a point where we understand that we must celebrate one another. Amen. This is not to say celebrate above God, but it is to celebrate one another rather than ourselves. Does it make sense? Look at what he says. Here's words. Paul celebrated the caliber of person that Tychicus is by saying, he says, the beloved brother. The beloved brother. It already emphasizes, that statement alone says that somehow, some way, that Tychicus was not a stranger to even those who were in Ephesus. They'd seen him before. But even more so, it says that his caliber was that he was the type of person that anybody could basically get along with. The beloved brother. The one in whom his air is not of arrogance and is not of a selfish attitude, but one in whom others can endear themselves to. He's of reputable character. He says, I've sent the beloved brother. But then he also celebrates him by saying that he was a faithful minister. He's faithful. He works and does not get weary. He pushes in spite of the circumstances. He goes on regardless of the trouble. Even in the struggle, he still ministers. Doesn't matter what happened, doesn't matter what's going on, he's faithful. He said, the beloved brother and faithful minister. Faithful minister. I believe that really is something that we need to really catch hold to, because sharing the journey, we've got to be faithful. Sharing in the journey. Look, we talk about sharing in the Christian journey with others. People have got to know that they can depend on us. Does it make sense? We've got to be able to be reliable as it pertains to the work of the Lord. He says he's faithful. He's beloved. But here's something interesting he says. He says, in the Lord. He says he's in the Lord. He says Tychicus is beloved by the brethren. He's faithful in service, but he's also in the Lord. That means a lot. He's in the Lord, which means that he has yielded his life to Christ. He's made a choice to live according to Christ's dictates. He's made a choice to live under the authority of the Lord. Matter of fact, he says, in the Lord, really it's a play on words to make it known that the Lord is his Lord. He says, and God is in charge of him. When we say we're in the Lord, we're literally saying that God is in charge. Can I help you to understand something? Sharing this Christian journey calls for us to understand who's really in charge. Can I tell you? You are not in charge. I'm not in charge. But God is in charge. He's in control. Matter of fact, it's his kingdom. It's his kingdom, and we are subjects of his kingdom. He says Tychicus is, he's lovable. Not only is he lovable, but he's faithful. And he knows who's in control. Now, many of us, when we think of sharing, we think of sharing our material things. That's a part of it, but mostly our Christian sharing is being able to work as one team. Partnering, that's sharing our lives, sharing our time, sharing our devotion, sharing our testimonies, sharing our life with one another in order to accomplish the divine will of God. Paul says he's going to tell you everything. And Paul is not just talking about the fact that he was in prison, but he was also talking about the work that they had already been doing around the world. I don't know about you, but there's got to be some folk in the work of the Lord who are willing to partner and share the Christian journey by advancing the truths of what God is doing in the lives of other people. There's got to be some partnering in the efforts of the church, where people don't mind saying God is working it out. Got to be some folk don't mind it saying, look, things don't always go the way I want them to go, and things are not always the way I think they should be. But one thing is for certain: since I've been a partner with the Lord, he's always made a way. Since I've been a partner with the Lord, no, I didn't always get things that I wanted. People didn't always treat me right. People didn't always wave at me when I wanted to. People didn't always show me the love that I desired. But one thing is for certain: since I've been his partner, he's been working things out. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Paul shows us this through the life of Tychicus. Tychicus is faithful, enduring circumstances. He's lovable. He didn't have that "it's all about me" attitude. And he was accountable to the Lord. Here's my question. Whom do you celebrate for the furtherance of Christ? Who's in your circle that you don't mind lifting so that others can see Christ in them. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come, come here. Who do you see? I'm afraid that many of us Christians got it wrong. We think that the answer to advancement of the kingdom is to make the kingdom about us. But the answer to the advancement of the kingdom is about making the kingdom about others. So it is, the question stands, whom do you celebrate? Whom do you lift so that others may see the work of Christ in their lives? No, not who you put down. Not who you talk about. Because see, that's the easy thing to do. The easy thing to do is always tell folk, you know what I'm saying, about how this person acted, what this person did to you, and how this person, that's the easy stuff. That's the easy thing to do. But who is it that you speak into? Who is it that you're willing to say, I see the work of God in them? No, it doesn't have to be your pastor. It doesn't have to be a deacon. But there ought to be somebody. Matter of fact, Paul makes it clear that there ought to be somebody in our circle that we can celebrate that does the work of God. There ought to be. The clue is that all of us should some way, somehow emulate Christ so much that others are willing to say, look at how Jesus works. Let me just tell you this. If there's nobody in your circle that way, then you're in the wrong circle. If you can't find faithful people, you can't find people who are ministering, if you can't find people who are in the Lord, if you don't have people who are beloved in your circle, baby, you're in the wrong circle. And it's time to move to another circle. Amen. Look, I've been there too long. I've been there too long. Here's the next thing. Here's the next thing. Paul teaches us, even in this particular benediction, he teaches us to encourage others. You see it? Verse 22, he says, I have sent him to you for the very purpose that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Paul says, I sent Tychicus to encourage you. First of all, that phrase I have sent is one word in the original language. It means that Paul dispatched. He sent him away. He dispatched Tychicus towards a specific goal. He gave him a mission. He gave him a plan. And he was to follow the plan. All right. And that plan was to go in, tell folks what we've been doing for the Lord and how God has been making a way and how the gospel is being spread, and at the same time encourage the church. Amen. That word encouragement, it means to be of good comfort, to entreat and pray. And so Paul did not want the Christians of Ephesus to lose heart or to be discouraged by his own circumstances. So Tychicus was sent to encourage them so that they might know the power of the gospel. He sent them, matter of fact, to tell them, look, you know, let me let y'all know what Paul is doing. Paul is, he's in house arrest. He's been in prison. And I can imagine the folks said, what? The preacher in jail? It might have been a couple of them that said, I mean, it might have been a couple. I don't know. It ain't in the Bible, but it might have been a couple that said, I knew it was something about him. That old preacher. No. But he wanted him to know. He's in prison. But he said, but look, I want to tell you something. He's in prison because he's been preaching. But guess what? Wow, Paul is in prison. You know what he's doing. He preaching and converting the jailers. Matter of fact, the Roman soldiers who are chained to him have been shouting and singing and talking about Jesus. They change guards every 4 hours. Every four hours they're changing guards. You know what I'm saying? There's 24 hours. So, you know, the sixth time they are changing guards. And Paul is having Bible study every. And these guys are walking away saved. Some of them are out on the street corners. That after they get off duty with Paul, they're standing out and said, hey, you know Jesus? He said, I want you to know the power of the gospel. I want you to know the changing effects of the gospel. And he's there. He wants to encourage them. He wants them to know that, look, it may get weary. It may get rugged. It may get rough. But all serving the Lord will pay off. I didn't mean to be cliche, but I felt that one. He said he came for this very purpose, to encourage your hearts. Don't want your hearts to get in the lull. Don't want you to get to a point where you become despondent. Don't want you to become have a heart of despair. I don't want you to feel disappointed about life. Yes, it's still going to be tough. He said, let me just tell you some more things. I want to tell you, look, there was a time we were on a ship. And the shipwrecked. And we were able to get to dry land, hanging on some pieces of the ship. And want you to know that Paul was still preaching the gospel. Chiquicos, I could hear him saying, look, I just wanted to tell you, God rescued us from shipwrecks. Paul was even there. There was a moment where even when Paul had picked up some sticks to warm the fire, and among the sticks was a snake that bit him, and the barbarians around thought he was, and somehow, some way, the snake died, but Paul didn't. I'm just here to tell you. Just do the will of God. He'll take care of you. Kikos was there to encourage their hearts, to let them know that God will take care of you regardless of your situation, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your problem. You can depend on God. Don't care who's against you. Be like Elisha said. He said, matter of fact, to his servant, when they were surrounded by the Syrian soldiers, came and he said, look, master, We surrounded. He said, wait a minute, look, I want you to look again. He said, look again. He said, I want you to know we got more going for us than we got going against us. You look again and looked around, and there were a band of angels standing around. What am I trying to say? Come here, let me help you. I'm trying to say, when you stand for the Lord, when you do God's will, regardless of who's against you, regardless of what's going on, you can depend on God to see you through. He said, don't get weary. He said, don't faint. You've got to get to a point where you trust God even when you cannot trace him. Come here, Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. All the days of my life will I serve the Lord. And I wait right here until my change comes. All he was saying is that the Lord will work it out. Trying to help somebody. Help somebody understand. Paul wanted the church to be encouraged. Yes, and look, let me just help you to understand that we need more encouragers in the church today. Amen. Need some folk that don't mind praying when trouble rears its ugly head. Need folk that don't mind saying, look, I don't know, but one thing I do know is that God is able. The Lord will make a way somehow. It ain't for me to understand everything, but one thing I do understand is that God. Get to a point where he says that the church would be encouraged their hearts. Who do you encourage? And this word encourage means to strengthen. It means to bring strength to others. Who do you bring strength to? Who do you bring strength to? No, I didn't say who you complain to. See, you know, the truth is, that, and it's an old adage, but it's the truth. Misery loves company. You don't believe me? Get miserable. Just get miserable. Matter of fact, just find somebody you don't like and just and find out how easy it is for that resentment to poison you and to cause you to try to put that poison in other folk and make other folks see things that way. Just get miserable and watch and see that misery loves company. But can I tell you something? The love of God loves company too. You've got to get to a point where you understand that it's not about putting folk down, but it's about encouraging folk. Who do you encourage? Who do you put your arm around and say, it's going to be all right? Who do you talk to and say, look, I know it may not look good right now, but just hold on, God will work it out. Who do you tell? Look, baby, I've been there. I've done that. I got the t-shirt and the belt buckle. But oh, I promise you that God will see you through. Just be encouraged. The church is in need of encouragers. Paul says partnering means we encourage others. We speak life into the church. Can I tell you something? There's no place I'd rather be than in the church. The church, I know the church got hypocrites in it, but you work with hypocrites on your job and you don't stop going to your job. I know it's some liars in the church, but look, you got family members that's liars, but they steal your dog.
right.
I know it's some shady folk in the church. But you know what? You shady. You've been shady. Folk around you have been shady, but you don't stop hanging around them. Look, there's no place I'd rather be than in the church with all that it's made up of. One thing is for sure, that I've got Jesus. The church is the Lord's place, and no place I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord. What he said, let me close this. He says, lastly, in verses 23 and 24, he shows us how to pray for others. He's shown us that we should share the Christian journey with others, that we should encourage others. But then lastly, he teaches to pray for one another. He says, peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. He turns this into a prayer whereby what he wants the church to experience. He said, I want the church to experience peace. You see it? He says, peace be to the brothers. And then he says, not only do I want them to experience peace, but this prayer was that the brothers would flourish in a spiritual relationship with Christ. He says, not only that, but I want you to experience the grace of God. He says, grace be to all who love the Lord. But then he says, he prays and says that you may manifest that incorruptible love. And that word incorruptible in the original language means unable to decay. He says, love that does not rot. Love that does not get stale. Love that does not get old. Love that does not deteriorate. You're going to get it in a minute. He said, love that sticks in spite of what's going on. Paul prays for the church. His example is for you and I to pray for the church. No, it's not to pray that you get your way. Because in this, Paul didn't pray for his way. No, it's not to pray that other folk would, you know, see things the way you see them. No. But he says, pray for the church that everyone would have a relationship with Christ. Pray that the kingdom would expand. Pray that others will know God for themselves. Pray that others would experience God's love. I promise, if you pray like that, you wouldn't have to worry about nobody getting on your nerves. You don't have to worry about anybody irritating you and making you sick. Because your prayer would be in line with others being able to know who God is for themselves. Can I just tell you before I go to my seat that I'm glad today that Big Mama prayed for me? Can I just tell you that I wasn't always who I am today? Can I just tell you, if you promise, you won't hold it against me. That I didn't always do the right thing. I didn't always live like God said live. Can I just tell you today that I, yeah, was a sinner on my way to hell? Well, yes, I know what you're saying, Reverend, but your daddy is a preacher. Yeah, and he was a preacher, but I was a sinner. Yeah, and I didn't always live how I ought to live. There were moments when I lied. There were moments when I fought. There were moments when I stole. But my big mama kept on praying for me. She prayed and she prayed. Can I tell you here that if you learn how to pray for folks, somehow, some way, I don't know how, but somehow the Lord will step in on time. What am I saying? I'm saying keep on praying, keep on calling on the worker of the Lord. Won't he work it out? Anybody here trying him for theirself? Have you prayed and the Lord made a way for you? Have you prayed and the Lord answered your prayers? Have you prayed and you saw the blessing of the Lord come through? One more thing about praise. Prayer also is a part of worship, which means we don't just ask God for stuff, but we start thanking God. And what right now, y'all, I feel a thank you coming from when I look back at what I used to be and look at what I am now. No, I'm not perfect. No, I ain't got everything right. But I'm glad, so glad, I ain't what I used to be. God will. Won't he do it? Have you tried him? I didn't mean to do all this. But yes, I'm glad. So glad. Woo! I'm glad. God answers prayer. If you don't believe me, look at me. I'm a miracle. Tell somebody. If you're looking for a miracle, look at me. God will answer prayer. Pray for others. Pray for others. Pray for others. Pray for others. Don't talk about them. Pray for them. Don't lie on them. Pray for them. Don't fight them. Pray for them. If folk ain't, look, if folk don't see things, just keep praying for them. Let me extend the privileges of the church. You may come by letter.